So am I still waiting? Waiting a long time.
Waiting for tonight. Oh.
Listen to Review Man.
Way too far. I can see your nipples.
But Mom, this is the same shirt that Nicki Minaj wore to the Music Awards. I have to wear this for my music career.
Huh. Well, if that's the case, you know how supportive I am over your music career, honey.
Brooke has a lovely singing voice. She's gonna be famous someday.
Brooke, what the hell are you wearing? Your boobs are hanging out, flopping around all over the place like a couple of helium balloons. March your ass upstairs, change your clothes right now.
No, honey, it's okay. I thought it was a little revealing at first, but Nicki Minaj wore it, and so it's gonna be good for her music career.
I don't know who she is, but I'm sure she's got a lovely singing voice, unlike my daughter, who's got a voice like a bag of cats that's been kicked by a horse.
Welcome to the freak show. Thanks for coming, joining me. I'll just show you what I want, then just repeat after you.
Welcome to Review Away, everyone. It's John Pollock, and I'm joined in the Review Away studios by Wei fucking Ting.
I am back.
This is your first review show in what has been over a month.
Yeah, that's right. That is right. If you discount TNA or, I don't know. Yeah. It's all new to me.
All back here for the second anniversary show. I'm so excited.
I wouldn't have come otherwise. Well, so don't expect me next week.
We've got quite the lineup for tonight's two-year anniversary show. We're going to be chatting about Hogan Knows Best, the porn parody.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to be joined by special guest analyst Jason Agnew, who's going to give his...
You pronounced it right.
Yes. He's going to be giving us his feedback, his two cents on the porn parody, and if it lives up to expectations.
Is he an expert? Is he claiming to be a pornography expert?
He definitely knows. I think he will be good at navigating the waters of pro wrestling and porn, and
it's true.
Amalgamating them for a concise recap.
Well, he's been to a number of porno conventions.
Yes, he has.
As part of his work. I don't know about his personal
He's been
life.
To the Testicle Festival.
Uh-huh.
He's
been to the AVN Awards, I believe.
I think so, in Vegas. Have you gone to any of those?
No. You know what? He took me once to one of the sex shows.
The one in Toronto.
Yeah, and those are always quite lame, you know?
I've never gone.
They're not, like, filled with porn stars or anything. They're more filled with, like, 50-year-olds trying to sell weird sex toys that they've designed. But anyway.
And are we going to have any guest run-ins, perhaps, on the show? You never know.
You never know. Stay tuned.
So that's all coming up, everyone, in today's show. But want to start off, this is our two-year anniversary show, Wei, and one of the questions we threw out to our listeners was their favorite review and their least favorite review. And I want to put you on the spot right now.
Wow.
Now that we have reviewed roughly 104 events, do you have a favorite and a least favorite?
Oh, boy. Yeah, you're putting me on the spot. I never thought about it. To be quite honest with you, like, they just kind of go in and out. And we do them so frequently, I don't really have the time to reflect. But let me try that right now. Let me think about it. I mean, there have been a number that I've really enjoyed. Obviously, the King of the Ring with Art Donovan, I really enjoyed that one. Even the Women of Wrestling, that was really good. Maybe my favorite, though, was the WWE Originals.
That one was a lot of fun to do.
And largely because of the rap contest that followed at the end of that show, if you want to listen back to it, August 9th.
of 2010.
I really enjoyed that rap battle that everybody participated in, and that was a lot of fun. That one stands up for me. As for a worst review, it's hard to pick. I don't know if there's if I can really name a worst review. Perhaps the one that we tried to record three separate times.
Unforgiven 99. That one was painful.
Yeah, December 2009.
I'm really glad we got out of that funk of having audio recording problems where we had the choppy issue with the audio being recorded badly, and then another where we forgot to hit record, and then another where... Oh, what was it? It was just like skipping and stuff.
Now we just have problems with us
live shows
disconnecting. Yes. And not showing up and sleeping in. That's all.
Yes. Your sleeping has victimized two shows.
What about you, John? What are your favorite and least favorite reviews?
My favorite one, and I know someone wrote this as their least favorite, I would have to say the Beyond the Mat one. Because I really enjoyed going through that and talking to Barry Blaustein. Just getting to have him on to talk about it was a lot of fun. I really enjoyed that interview. So that one stands out as a favorite. The Originals one was a lot of fun as well. I've also got to say, a lot of the WWF shows where we've had David Lagana on, I've always found have added to quite a lot to just new facts that weren't out there before from someone who was behind the scenes about stuff that we were watching.
WrestleMania 19,
that one was great.
The first of the brand split.
That's right. Right. That was our first one where it was 2.5 hours, and we realized, all right, this is pretty. It's a pretty big. Add-on.
Yeah. And it's all worked out very well.
I think so, too. And hopefully people get used to the Wednesday debut date that we're starting off with this week. In terms of least favorites, Unforgiven, definitely. That one was painful, but I have to go back to just a few weeks ago, AWA Super Clash 3.
Wow.
I hated watching that
event. It was that bad.
It just wouldn't end. It was like the longest show ever. And I left it to the day before, and I had to watch it in one sitting, and it was just, I was in so much pain watching this, and then thinking it was over, and there was an unadvertised match at the end of the show. It was just the worst. I hated Super Clash.
Boy. Who chose that one? Was it you or Arda?
That was Arda.
Well,
so
thank you, Arda, for not choosing it with me around.
Yeah, I took the bullet on that one, but, that would quickly be mine. And later in the show, we're going to get the feedback and check out some of your best and worst thoughts. Mm-hmm. But as advertised, everyone, Hogan Knows Best, a XXX porn parody. And I want to bring up some information here, everyone, because if you haven't heard about this, came out about a month ago, and I think immediately people were yelling, saying, please do not review this. And I couldn't help but be tempted to pick this to review.
Well, this is not the first time we have reviewed pornography together.
You have to go way back, though, to that other one where we did, where you and I reviewed separate porn videos.
Dan Lebransky traveled to another porn convention, traveling with the Pillow Fight League, and he brought back gifts for us, and among these gifts were separate DVDs for both John and myself. These were DVDs by the Porn World Order. Is that what it was?
Yes.
The Porn World Order brand of porn makers. And so we were doing Ask Away at the time. We should even talk about that, just since this is the two-year anniversary.
Yeah, we'll give some backstory.
Yeah, well, Ask Away was basically an extra add-on segment to the Live Audio Wrestling podcast. And John just brought it up one day, said, hey, Way. Like, I used to be the call screener on the lawn, and then John was just like, why don't you stick around? And I'm like, what for? And he said, you'll find out. And so, after the law, he sat me down and turned on the microphones and just changed my life.
It was, Yeah, I just thought you and I, we have a pretty good on-air chemistry, I think.
But
and
we were never on air prior to that.
Yeah,
maybe
we really
just because you know, like you would always be opping the show and I would be just taking calls. And
I think a lot of people were curious about your thoughts because you were always kind of hidden on the law. You would maybe, you know, people were always asking about Wei Ting, Wei Ting. Okay. And it was right around that time you were also doing the weigh-in, right? If I'm not mistaken.
I don't remember. Actually, maybe. I don't remember.
And it was a long time. I don't know. I've always seen you as just a gold mine. That's the wrong thing. It sounds like I'm using you for something. I mean, I just think you're a very entertaining guy, and you always downplay this and sell yourself short. And that was the impetus behind Ask Away. And was the first one might have been where we went on where we went to Oshawa for the TNA house show with Morrow.
I don't. Remember.
Because I remember we did a road trip one.
I not long ago I posted up some links to archives. Maybe I'll put that back up, but perhaps that would have been it. Yeah, where we went to Oshawa for a TNA house show, and nobody was there, and I don't know.
But it was awesome because we had so many great stories to relay from it, and that might have been the first Ask Away. I'm not 100% sure.
It could have been.
You can go back and listen to some of those from we started around August or September of 2008.
Yeah.
And we did those for a couple of months. And it was reviewing the porn that was the weird one. I was like, people are going to hate this.
It sounded like a good idea. Just like this one sounded like a good idea to start. I find it funny and I find it amusing. But talking about it was a little uncomfortable, because you and I, we don't really talk on that level, even in our personal lives. We don't talk about sex or porno. I'm like, hey, John.
look at the tits on that girl across the street. Yeah, this is taken right out of our everyday dialogue.
No, we're not. We don't do that. We're just not those types of guys.
But it was the reviews at that time that I found to be our real strong point, because we reviewed the porn thing and it got over very well. I was shocked. We reviewed that 8-hour Kurt Angle DVD that TNA put out. TNA just sent us this DVD and we're like, well, why don't we review this? Little did we know it was a 3-hour documentary.
Mm-hmm.
And you just ripped apart the production of it. And
it was shit.
It was a terrible DVD for what you have a fantastic story and a fantastic subject. And that was the painful part.
Yeah.
And, done horribly.
Well, they're very handicapped. Just like, you know, TNA. Like, anytime you try to tell a story about a guy, if you don't have that footage, it's difficult. Because much of Kurt Angle's career, at least at that point, all of it was in the WWE. And without any of that footage, they're very handicapped in that sense. But go back to that one if you want to listen to it. I'll post up the links at some point. But that ended. Ask Away ended when
Jason Agnew came in and kicked you out.
No, that was not it. In fact, we did a number of months with just the three of us, and I thought those were pretty good. But eventually, the law moved out of the CFRB studios, and you had to become basically the call screener once we moved to Sirius. And they had their own board op. So I was pretty much no longer coming in on Sundays, and so that pretty much ended things, I would say.
And that's what Ask Away was when we brought Jay in, was it really had nothing to do with wrestling.
Mm-hmm.
And it would morph into what is now Byte Radio.
Yeah.
Where we had our friend Justin Terry come in frequently, and you were there.
Mm-hmm.
And it became just this addition to the law that really had nothing to do with wrestling, but people really enjoyed it.
Which is still going strong, which I still listen to every single week. I find it hilarious.
Yeah, it's weird how we've like branched off into these different podcasts, but they're all kind of linked under the same kind of banner, so mm-hmm. to speak. But that was it, we moved to Sirius, and there was no reason for Way to come all the way downtown mm-hmm. at this point. But I knew I wanted to continue doing stuff with you, and it took us a couple of months to figure stuff out, and then it was just one week. I remember pestering you, and you weren't too up for it. You're like, I don't know. I don't know if people really want to hear about our lives and stuff like that. I'm like, no, it'd be really good. And then you said, okay, I'll do it, but it's got to be related to wrestling in some form. And thus, we were like, well, let's review wrestling events and stuff.
Yeah.
And you were like, okay, well, what should we call it? And I just said, Review Away.
No, I think I said
Review. Did you come up with Review Away?
Yeah.
There you go.
Don't rewrite history. I came up with this name.
My memory's terrible.
But, you know, yeah, because if we're putting this next to the law and we're branding it along with live audio wrestling, catering to that demographic, I mean, I'm sure there might be some people that are interested in what our thoughts are on the Notorious B.I.G. biopic, but I don't know if everybody would be interested in it. And I don't know. I've always... I just thought it was a nice idea to talk about old wrestling for a change, not rather than current stuff.
And thus we just started with Ground Zero, which I just picked simply because the WWF had promoted a pay-per-view just 4 years before 9/11 in September called Ground Zero.
Yeah.
And that was really the thought process of picking that first show.
It was fun.
And it was, why not?
Why not?
And that was that was the one pay-per-view that featured Scott Putski.
That's right.
In his match with Brian Christopher.
I actually went back and listened to it because I knew we were going to talk about it on the show. And,
yes.
Wow.
How terrible were we?
I thought you were fine. I couldn't stand myself, though. I thought I was just, fuck.
I think everyone's like that, though, when you go, I hate listening to myself, and I need to do it more.
Man, I was listening to this, and I'm like, what the fuck? What's wrong with this guy? His voice is, he's like a monotone voice. He's putting me to sleep. He's boring.
No one has ever said you are boring, I don't think.
Well, that's what I would say if I was listening to myself. But obviously, I don't know, some people like it.
A lot of people like it. You're so just down on your
you know,
abilities, your talents.
It's called fishing for compliments, and I think it's working.
what mind control you have.
So there you go.
Anything else from that first show listening
really.
Back that stood out?
I listened to it for a little bit, but...
You didn't make it through?
No, not really. I stopped at the birth of the Scott Putski Award, and...
We need to really set up... like a page on the website that's just got everything with the links and set up a better way to download everything. Because let's be honest, the podcast section, it's so hard to navigate.
Yeah.
Like you can't even skip by, you got to go page by page.
You're talking about the Fight Network website.
Yeah. It's really difficult.
Yeah, it is. Well,
we can create like its own page just with all the links and then just keep that link on the Facebook archive or something like that.
Yeah, I mean...
How is our Facebook archive? Is it still there? It disappeared?
It's there, yeah. No, I updated almost, or tried to update
it. Sometimes it disappears.
Week.
You notice that?
I haven't noticed that.
While you were gone, it disappeared for a few days. It was just a blank slate.
That's weird.
I got concerned.
But it's still there. If you go to the Facebook group and click on podcast archive, they're pretty much all there. Every single one of our reviews. So, go back.
Are you ready for this review?
Yes.
Now, I'm not sure how many people are familiar with this because I wanted to... This is the description, okay? Third Degree Films press release. Official Hogan Knows Best parody. Description. In this pants-wettingly funny parody, Hulk Hogan has a lot more on his hands than just his wife and kids. Follow the nation's favorite wrestling hero and his super-tanned reality TV family as they heat up their Florida mansion with moves you won't see in the ring. After downing a bucket of steroids and Viagra, the Hulkster calls a hooker to calm him down, giving new meaning to the chokehold and pile driver. Meanwhile, Brooke catches hell for wearing a slutty shirt, which doesn't seem to bother her boyfriend Bill, and Nick entertains Brooke's horny friend Lexi, leaving his nerdy pal Link to get it on with Linda. With this sex-crazed family all living under one roof, you'll want to make sure you've got a ringside seat. Starring Cagney Lynn Carter, Julia Ann, Devin Lee, Lexi Swallow, and Kimberly Kane. Directed by Mike Kazar.
That's the whole movie. They described every plot line in this little write-up. In that one paragraph. Because there's really no story.
I thought this was going to be hilarious to watch.
Mm-hmm.
It was such a disappointment. Like, there wasn't even, like... wrestling terminology. There wasn't like I wanted camp porn. That's what I was hoping for here.
Yeah.
Like a campy movie with shitty dialogue, but something that would be so bad it would be funny. And instead, we just got these marathon sex scenes one after the other, fading into one another.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. How do you want to run this down?
Let's start it off.
Okay.
Hogan Knows Best parody, live from Orlando, Florida.
Yeah. First, we should talk a little bit about these porn parodies. They've been showing up a lot, and I think they're all done by this third-degree film.
It's
company.
A smart marketing concept.
Oh, brilliant. And because it's funny, you know? It's funny, and it's eye-catching, and, you know, like, I would be more comfortable going into a store and buying the Hogan Knows Best Triple X parody than I would going into a store and buying, like...
Swallow Hollow 4 or
yeah,
something.
Or, like, giant Black Cox 18.
Black Cox Down.
I don't...
Really. I think that is a movie.
But, so yeah, it's really smart and gets a ton of mainstream publicity no matter what they do. I mean, they've
done... Mainstream?
Yeah.
Like,
absolutely.
I'm discovering
okay,
this?
Okay, not like that, but I mean, as
porn mainstream.
Yeah, like, okay. As mainstream as a sure. porn film can get. I mean, they've done, like, I'm just Googling third-degree films, and, like, they've done, like, a Howard Stern parody. They've done a The Office parody.
The Office parody.
Yeah, it's weird. Like, a Howard Stern show parody. Survivor parody. Like, you name it. They've probably done it.
What are some other... Here, I'm just on their site here. We've got... Bachelorette Orgy, about to Blow, Teeny Bikini.
I don't think those are parodies.
My First Gangbang, Big Butt Oil Orgy, Official Taxicab Confessions Parody, Big Butt Oil Orgy, To Crack Addict.
There's the Deal or No Deal parody.
Ah, that's awesome.
I don't know how you could...
It's the women with the... Tits Ahoy 5.
Oh, boy.
I'm a fan of porn titles. I think they're hilarious.
They're very funny.
The Cougar Club.
So anyway, so this...
There's a Howard Stern one.
Yeah, there's a Howard Stern, and it's weird, but very funny.
Have you seen it?
An idea. No, I have not. I've not seen any of these.
Oh, you've seen one now.
Yeah, no.
Sweet Cream Pies 2.
All right.
Okay, enough?
That's not very funny.
No, none of them are that funny.
No.
Chicks and Salsa 2.
Okay.
Fresh Pink.
So, right. So I mean, I get the sense that these must be very successful if they continue to roll these out.
I think it's more a thing of, like, mass producing these. Like, you see a lot of the same women in a lot of these, so I imagine they're signing, like, multi-picture deals here. I wonder how much these women are getting paid, to be honest, because... It's like that's the general complaint you get within the porn industry right now is that there's so many porn actors and porn actresses, mm-hmm. yet the demand has gone down so much because of this proliferation of porn that mm-hmm. women that maybe years ago could get 30 grand a film are now getting peanuts in comparison to that.
Yeah.
So it's like you're doing more work but not making more money. It's a supply and demand, I guess.
Yes, that's it.
The economics of porn.
I don't know. That's a good question to ask a porn star. Or maybe Jason Agnew would be...
Which
would
I considered getting for this show, but I thought we would run off all our listeners having a porn star.
What? I don't think so. I think... Come on. I think almost... I would say 99% of the people who listen to this podcast watch pornography. I don't buy it if you're... If you're lying if you haven't... I don't know. Don't go on Red Tube or something once in a while. That's bullshit. So so this Hogan Knows Best parody, it starts with a trailer, a preview, basically, of all the scenes that you're going to see. And it stars Evan Stone as Hulk Hogan.
A terrible Hulk Hogan.
Terrible.
Like, just an atrocious portrayal here. I mean, Hulk Hogan is not a tough impression.
Mm-hmm.
And this guy was just... Like, I really believe this was, like... Probably didn't even get a script for this movie. It's like, yeah. Here are your bullet points for the scene. We're going to make one reference to Randy Savage by using your forearm. And that's about it.
Mm-hmm.
This was terrible.
Yeah, yeah. I'm not looking for incredibly...
Sidney Poitier.
I'm not looking for Sidney Poitier in a Hulk Hogan porno parody, okay? But
I wanted a cheesy Hulk Hogan ripoff.
And I would expect at least some research. What I gathered from this, from Evan Stone playing Hulk Hogan, was that he had never seen one Hulk Hogan promo before. Or
like, if he had worked it in to where, like, the climax of the scene, he's tearing his shirt.
Oh, my God, and hulking up?
Yeah.
That'd be amazing.
Hug spot with Ultimate Warrior,
yeah.
or the test of strength.
I think you and I should try this again.
this might be disturbing, but I at the end of this, I was like, you, me, Agnew, like, we could do a 10 times better job
at
this.
We'd be there behind the scenes, of course, not
in front.
Not
no.
in front.
Very true.
But, man.
This just got awkward.
It's going to get even
but
more
awkward.
But this
was, exact. This was a wrestling porn parody. Like, there's so much you can do.
But I think that's where our thinking differs from the producers' thinking. They're just parodying a reality show. They're not here to parody the WWE or the Hulk Hogan in the WWE. They're here to parody a reality show on VH1 or whatever channel. Hulk Hogan knows best.
I just feel it's like what separates this? Are people just simply buying this based on the cover? This is a Hogan, I guess, maybe.
That's the whole point of all
just
these
so
parodies.
I would never want to buy a parody after watching this from this company.
Sure.
Because it was a shitty parody.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, very bad. Going down the list, we have Cagney Lynn Carter as Brooke, Kimberly Kane as some prostitute, Lexi Swallow as Brooke's slutty friend, Lexi.
As she introduces herself as.
And Julia Ann as Linda Hogan. And in the opening scene, we see Brooke and Linda in the kitchen, and Linda starts yelling at Brooke
for being a slut.
Well, for telling her that her shirt is too tight and she can see her nipples. Meanwhile, Linda's wearing a shirt that's just as tight and you can see her nipples just as much. But Brooke defends the shirt, saying that this is for her music career. Because Nicki Minaj wore it to the Grammys or something. And Linda says, oh, if it's for your music career, then it's okay. Then, like, in between, they cut to these interview clips like it's a reality show. And I wrote here, I found Stone's impression to be more of a macho man than a Hulk Hogan. If not more of a macho man, then, like, just somebody impersonating a generic wrestler, which is what I got from the impression here. So then Brooke is told to go change her shirt, and so she goes up to her room, takes her shirt off, and her boyfriend is still in bed.
Bill. Just this random guy sleeping in her bed.
From the night before.
Yes, from the night before, and Brooke was ready to leave and just leave him there.
And Bill starts, you know, lamenting about the passionate sex that they had the night before, and he starts talking about it very poetically, and Brooke, in this very politically correct line, says, are you gay? I don't date gay dudes.
She just sleeps with them the night before.
Uh-huh.
And this was like it was like the agents from TNA were putting together this porn, because we got the exact same storyline a few scenes down the road with Linda and Link.
Well, I don't. I guess in pornography,
that's okay.
No, I'm saying I guess in pornography, are you gay? If not, prove it to me. I guess that's a very common plot device in pornography, and it's like the steel chair of porn.
Well, there's a law of diminishing returns, I guess.
Yes. And
okay.
So Bill and Brooke have sex.
To prove he's not gay.
Yes, that's the impetus for this sex scene, is to show that he's not gay.
This was like a 21-minute sex scene.
This was an Iron Man.
This was ridiculously long.
Yeah, yeah. They're all this long. And so...
What are we doing?
I don't know. How are we going to go through
this? I was bored. I started fast-forwarding. This was too much.
Yeah.
It was 20 minutes here.
This was a lot of sex, a lot of porn, but that's what you're paying for.
This dude was, like, they didn't even shoot his face. For, like, 20 and a half minutes, you didn't even see his face.
Well, that's good. You don't want to just have a
I'm just saying, this guy might as well have been, like, a fucking, like, tree stump with a penis.
That's all they are. Sure.
This girl carried this scene.
Holy shit. Oh my god, I can't stop fucking coming, I swear to god. Oh my god, I can't stop fucking coming, dude. Oh my god.
Oh, baby. Oh,
yeah.
Oh,
come back. Oh, baby, I'm okay. I knew you weren't gay. I just wanted you to make me scream like a girl.
Absolutely.
All the dialogue, all the noises.
Yeah.
Everything.
That's why they get paid more.
Well, they should, because she did way more. This guy was just a clueless porn actor. Is there anything lower on the food chain than that?
I think it's a
terrible porn actor.
What do you mean? He did his job. He was fine. Did his job, you know.
She actually did the job in this multiple times.
But listen, when you're a male porn actor, I think that's all you're hired to do is just to be there and not steal the spotlight.
Imagine, like, what you could have done here with, like, if you had commentators doing play-by-play for this.
Well, I can say that I think these scenes needed something because there was no music here, and there weren't even edits. They're just
there wasn't,
like,
any funny lines from them.
They were just one takes, and it just felt really awkward. Like, the same awkwardness of, like, real-life sex, you know? Like, when you're watching a porno, you're expecting, I don't know, fantasy. You're expecting them to just kind of dress things up and clean things up and make them a bit hotter. But instead, it was just like they're in somebody's house,
poorly decorated room too. I mean, there was no set design.
No, it was a bedroom. No type of lighting. No atmosphere was created. It was just a dude with a camera, and then sex in all its I don't know, sweaty, like, you know, sweatiness and awkwardness. I found.
This scene really was a reminder to me of what an enclosed world I live in, where I'm actually thinking about this and, like, the pacing. By the end of this sex scene, pardon the pun, but they had really blown their load here, because they had done pretty much every position imaginable. They had done 20 minutes of it. I was done after this.
Yeah.
It was like, sure. What more do we need to see here? This was like an opening match, going out there and doing every false finish, and then we've got a 2-hour, 2.5-hour pay-per-view still to come.
Yeah, this was just like that.
Why couldn't Hulk and Linda hear their daughter moaning and yelling from one set of stairs above the kitchen? This is where you had to kind of turn your brain off for this, and I don't do that, even for porn.
Wow, okay. I can't believe you just tried to instill real-life logic into a porno.
Listen, we just established that the parents were upset about her shirt revealing her boobs.
Yeah.
And now she is being monster-fucked and yelling at the top of her lungs here. Wouldn't that be a cause for concern?
Absolutely. You're absolutely right. This is why... Porno scenes like this don't happen in real life. They just don't.
They just don't. And all of these scenes ended with some stupid line at the end after the money shot.
Yeah. So he comes in her mouth and she says, "I knew you weren't gay."
Ha!
There you go.
Get it?
Yep.
Because they just had sex.
Uh-huh.
Move on. And we next up is...
We see Hulk Hogan. Hulk Hogan is in the living room, and for some reason, he starts talking about wife swapping. I don't know what this meant.
Because he was at first against it, but then he realized he could get together with one of Linda's hot friends.
Okay. Yeah, I don't know how that came about. I don't know if this is a parody of an angle or, like, from the actual reality show or something, but... So then we see him at the kitchen mixing a compound of Viagra, steroids, and protein. And we know it's Viagra, steroids, and protein because these...
They are labeled in a marker.
Labeled Viagra, steroids, and protein. And this was really, really lame. It was just a sight gag of this guy mixing these drinks and then downing this big drink. So Hogan starts sitting in a chair waiting for Becky from the wife swap, but then he just casually says that he waited too long, had too much Viagra, and had an erection the size of Macho Man's forearm.
The one and only wrestling reference in this entire documentary.
Documentary, film. Yeah, no, this is the documentary, sure. So he calls a prostitute, and...
The logical choice.
Oh my god, this,
horrendous looking hooker.
Like, horrendous looking. Like, terrible.
Doing a fake Russian accent, I think.
Take off your pants! You'll have more freedom with my pussy.
It's a good plan.
Guys, smoke in here?
And an equally ugly Russian accent. Even for porn, I felt this accent was just terrible.
This is where... Yeah, this was the worst scene.
Oh, okay. So then they start to have sex, and she says some of these lines, they're clearly not written, of course. These are just like, as they're having sex, they're just improvising, and it's just, I've just found it so annoying hearing this woman try to do this like Terminator Russian accent, you know?
And it's worse than we're describing it.
It's terrible. You might just have to listen to it.
Hulk is wearing these army fatigues throughout the scene before they come off, and his bandana.
Mm-hmm.
That's about it. This is a hideous scene. One that I fast forwarded.
Some of these lines are just like baffling. Like, I don't even know if you were even in character what they meant. Like, she says, "Look at those balls. It's like God."
What does that even mean?
I don't know. And then at one point, they're in some other position, and then some of the strangest, like, just most awkward ad-lib. Like, she says, "You will put the hammer down good?"
Maybe that's a reference to, like, communism.
This scene in particular, and, like, most of these scenes, just watching it, I found them kind of disgusting. Like, they made sex look disgusting. Her makeup was gross. And it's just disgusting enough to watch Hulk Hogan have sex. So this whole thing was just really awkward and a real big turnoff.
This was the worst scene. This was just, yeah, very odd. Next up, is this where we go to Nick?
Yes, we see Hulk Hogan with Nick Bollea.
Okay, see, there was a gap in my file where I watched, where all of a sudden Nick is with Lexi in the next scene, and it cut over to the next CD, so I didn't see the setup for this.
Okay, well, everybody in the house, Brooke and Linda, start talking about all the terrible things Nick has done, so they're among them. They don't mention the driving whatsoever. They don't mention anything like that. And then Hulk says Nick is grounded, and he can only hang out with one friend. And Hulk says he can hang out with Link, who's Nick's nerdy friend. But he also comments, "Link, what a faggy name." So then we see Nick there, and Brooke's slutty friend Lexi walks in. And Brooke's slutty friend Lexi is looking for Brooke. As I'm reading all these things, I'm wondering if there's anybody listening to me outside of this studio. We're just, here we are at 2 o'clock on a Monday, office hours, talking about Brooke's slutty friend Lexi,
who is played by Lexi Swallow. And I found this piece on TMZ from just back in June. Lexi Swallow. A hardcore porn star named Lexi Swallow, clearly named after her affinity for birds, found herself in handcuffs yesterday, and for once they weren't pink and fuzzy. Law enforcement sources tell us that Swallow, star of My First Orgy 2 and Oops, I Did My Daddy's Best Friend, were pulled over Thursday morning for failing to signal, and during the stop, the officer noticed a funky smell on her breath. We're told Swallow was given a breathalyzer test and blew a .09, just above the legal limit. Swallow was then arrested on suspicion of driving under the influence and was hauled off to a nearby jail. TMZ spoke with a rep for Swallow, who tells us the porn star plans to fight the case tooth and nail, just not too much tooth.
Huh.
TMZ. So this is her big role as the slutty friend, Lexi.
All right. So then, since Brooke is not around, they decide to have sex. And at this point, I started to actually...
By the pool outside. So they changed up the scenery.
Yeah, by the pool outside. At this point, like, I started to feel like a real headache, you know, watching this. I don't know what it is, because, like, I think when you're forced to do anything, like, whether it be watching porn or watching TNA, which is not too far off, you just, like, it's headache-inducing. And I'm sitting here, like, you know, being forced to watch these two people have sex when I wasn't really in the mood for it. It's gross and not hot at all.
Yeah. This scene was really just a transition.
Yeah. Thankfully, they cut out all the awkward, dirty talking. No accents in this.
Yes, so it was an improvement on the previous scene.
Yeah.
And then we go to Linda's scene with Link.
I guess so, yes.
Link all of a sudden just showed up. He's got tattoos all over his arms.
And Link's character is that of a nerd. And why you would cast a tattooed dude as a nerd?
He seemed like a crack addict.
He seemed like a five-year-old.
Like he wasn't all there.
Take it off.
Okay.
There you go. Oh, look at that. Even more tattoos.
Yeah. Yeah.
What are you looking so shy for?
Because you're Nick's mom and you're Mrs. Hogan.
Oh, yes.
Your husband's
it is true.
Hulk Hogan, who's very strong.
It's true. He is very strong.
Yeah, he hurts people. Wow. We're going right there. Wow.
Yeah, well, I don't like to beat him out of the bush.
Yeah, yeah. Well, anyway, a tattooed guy playing a crackhead five-year-old. And, again, Linda asks why his name is so faggy and asks Link if he is a fag. What more? What more is there? They have sex.
Where he's very awkward, but then starts to get into it. And he at first resists, saying, "You're Nick's mom, and your dad, and your husband is a big wrestler. He's really strong."
Mm-hmm.
And she says, "Yes, he is very strong," but says, "You'll do for Wednesday afternoon."
Yeah. And they have poorly lit, awkward, disgusting sex
on a couch.
Mm-hmm. So then next,
we climax with Hulk. On a couch with a random woman, his friend.
Yeah, Hulk Hogan says, I don't know what happened to the wife swapping. I guess that was...
Well, he said that she didn't show up in time. Maybe this was the friend.
This was not, because this was Janice, Hulk Hogan's former female wrestler friend. Oh, yeah,
this was the former wrestler who was...
who used to wrestle as NyQuil.
NyQuil.
I don't get it.
Me neither. I don't know.
I don't know if that was supposed to be a parody or what. They have
maybe that's what this porn was doing to its viewers, the effects of NyQuil.
Sure. They have an awkward conversation, and then they have sex.
With her sneakers on.
Yeah. Hogan starts grabbing her pussy and says, "This is the pussy hole."
What have we fallen to?
You chose this, not me.
I know.
And you're the one who lost.
Listen,
you're the one who lost your notes. That is why I'm running through these.
Yes, everyone. I took notes, a full half page, and accidentally deleted them from my computer, and was not about to go back and rewatch anything for clarity's sake. So yeah, I'm kind of winging it, kind of like the actors in this video did.
Oh boy. Okay.
So all I remember were the sneakers here. A very unattractive woman. And then it culminates with, you see, Linda and Brooke had gone to the Justin Bieber concert.
Yeah.
And they come home early because, what, Justin Bieber hit puberty?
Yes.
That was their explanation for the concert being canceled. And Linda asks who this slut is.
Yeah. And who's this slut with all of Hulk Hogan's semen on her face?
And that's how it ends. That's the parody. That's the fucking climax of the movie. Nothing.
Oh, fuck.
This was horrible.
This was terrible, man. Like,
this was the worst porno I've ever seen.
I would say some of the, like, the one that I reviewed with Dan, the one that Dan gave us, I thought that was terrible, too.
I remember my, I can't remember the specifics, but I remember mine was at least had some hilarious dialogue.
Okay.
This had nothing. This was crap.
Yeah, the writing was terrible, the acting was terrible, and I mean, all that's a given in pornography, but...
And they had room for this to be very entertaining.
Yeah, yeah, they did. But I thought even the sex was bad. I thought it was disgusting. Not even gross, because it was Hulk Hogan, or a man dressed as Hulk Hogan and Hulk Hogan's family, but just bad production, and the people involved aren't... They're, none of them are, like, really too attractive. Everything just looked very amateur. You know?
It was just a low-rent production of a
cashing
porn.
In on...
It's like the they name. Did a porno and they put a sticker on it that said Hogan Knows Best. Well, like, there was so little connection even.
That's really all they are. And, like, I don't know if I always heard somewhere that, you know, like, in porn, like, half your budget or something obscene like that goes into the box. And, you know, like, the box is really most of what sells, not really what's
inside. Which box are you talking about? Because it could apply to either.
Yes.
I guess. I get what you're
Moving
saying.
Moving on. Yeah, I just found this hard to watch.
You really set yourself up for another joke there. But that's it. That's Hogan Knows Best, the horrible porn parody. I give it negative 10 out of 10. I'm sorry, Wei. I feel like Arda picking Super Clash here.
It wasn't terrible.
I thought we would get some entertaining scenes out of this, and instead it was just... completely dismal.
Well, perhaps some people found us being so uncomfortable and entertaining. And if that's the case, then that's fine. I didn't think this was so bad. I mean, I'll be honest. I think this beats a TNA pay-per-view any day. I'd watch one of these over a TNA pay-per-view.
See, I watched No Surrender on Sunday, and I watched this a few days prior.
Yeah.
I would still sit through No Surrender before watching this again.
Okay.
And both were horrendous.
Well, I give this a 2 out of 10.
2?! For
yeah.
what? What are the two?
Just because it wasn't terrible.
It was terrible.
Okay, it was terrible, but it wasn't like... And it was only an hour and a half long.
It was short. Yeah. If this had been 2 hours, I would have been more angry.
It was actually 2 hours, but I fast-forwarded.
It was 2 hours?
Yeah. The sex scenes, like, I just fast-forwarded.
I cut through a lot of them. Like, well, once you're talking about a 20-minute sex scene, I mean, this is overkill. This is ridiculous.
If you're in the mood to watch Hulk Hogan and his family have sex, then this is great. But I just never found myself in that mood, and I don't know if I ever will. So, you know, not very funny. If you're watching it for that reason, you'd be disappointed.
So that was our review of the Hogan Knows Best porn parody, Wei, and I think we tried to do it justice, but we needed to bring in our special guest here, and Jason Agnew is going to be joining us to look at Hogan Knows Best. Joining us on our second anniversary special, our guest analyst, Jason Agnew here, who has taken the time to watch the Hogan Knows Best porn parody, because I couldn't envision us reviewing this without Mr. Agnew's take on this. And Jay, first of all, we're sorry.
Oh, dude, I tell you, don't be sorry, but I Tarantino'd this shit, is what I did. Because, uh-huh. like, I got the files... Right. And then the first part of the first half didn't work. So I had to watch the second half first. So I was really not understanding what was going on in the plot when I was watching the second half, because I didn't
critical.
Know what was leading up to it. I know it's critical. I know. So but I got through it. I'm fresh off watching it. And I have to say I did some fast forwarding. But you know me, I do that for any wrestling product that I watch.
That's true.
But I got through it. So what have you guys done so far? I didn't hear. So you've reviewed the whole show at this point?
We've gone through. We've talked about the key scenes. And overall, we found it... I thought there was a lot you could have done with this as a parody. I thought there was lots of wrestling tie-ins you could do.
Yep.
I thought this could be a lot of fun. And I thought they failed at just about every level.
Everything. There was no... like.
And I personally...
Like, that's all we got.
Yeah, and I even just felt the sex was bad. I thought it was poorly shot and just very awkward and disgusting.
Well, that's what's known as pornography. But,
yeah, but
I found
good
that the
pornography.
What would that be? What do you like?
Maybe we can,
Asians. He likes Asians,
oh, God. No, but I'm just saying, production value is important in anything, in any type of video format. And I was just appalled by the production quality of this feature.
I found the audio a little bit off. Like, they didn't add any music or anything like that when the porn was happening. And there's a lot of skin-on-couch noises.
Mm-hmm. Now, wait a minute. During the scene, though, where Hogan is doing his mixture of protein, Viagra, and steroids, did any of you recognize the song?
No. No, I didn't.
That is the theme song for Ultimate Classic Wrestling, hosted by John Pollock on the Fight Network.
Is that right?
I was a little skeptical about this whole wife-swapping thing, but Linda's friend, Becky, was really hot. I was really looking forward to banging Becky, and Linda set it all up, so that made it totally awesome.
Yeah. Wow, that's pretty fantastic, John.
That's some production music. I have a link to this.
Oh, I wonder if they saw it.
I popped when I heard that song. I'm like, wait a minute, I know what that is. It's Ultimate Classic Wrestling.
You know, John, if you were going to pop during the show, that would be a weird scene to pop in.
Yeah. For the mixture and Hulk Hogan.
Yeah.
So what else? What did you think of this, Jay? I thought some of these scenes were just like, Christ, 20 minutes.
Yeah, it was. Well, I tell you, the work rate in this film is a lot better than Hogan's regular work rate. But I also found that much like the TNA pay-per-view last night, the bookers did not chat. You had all but one of the confrontations ending in the exact same way with the money shot. And you know what? For the most part, normally in wrestling matches, we don't want the finishes to be a mess. But in porn, you do, and they just didn't provide that in this porn. It seems like there was a hydration problem. Perhaps these actors had just been worked way too much beforehand and they didn't have time to refuel, but there was not enough mess in the finish of each of these confrontations, I have to say. And apparently they don't shave in Russia.
Yes. I don't know if it's hilarious or sad that me and Wei made the exact same comparison about TNA agents and doing similar finishes.
Really?
Identical.
Yeah, there was it was all but one of the confrontations at the exact same finish. I also wonder, if you look at the kitchen scene partway into the show, do you think Nicki Minaj is aware that she is mentioned numerous times in this film? And if she is not aware, do you not feel, John Pollock, that it is At Law Radio's duty on Twitter to make her aware of this?
I think At Agnew Jason might get a retweet if you were to contact her, and that would probably built up your fan base with the Morgan Spurlock fans and Nicki Minaj.
Yeah, that's true. I'm high rolling on the tweets now.
What was your best and worst matches of the event, Jay?
Geez, I have to say the worst was the prostitute and the Hulkster going at it.
Agreed.
I wasn't a big fan of that. I was surprised by the lack of grooming. Along with that, I felt as though her acting was very similar to, let's say, Lita trying to do a Russian accent. And I didn't much care for it.
I don't remember that.
The best, I thought, was probably the pool scene with good old Nick out there and the Paris Hilton lookalike.
The slutty friend Lexi.
The slutty friend Lexi, yes. That's how most friends introduce themselves.
Mm-hmm. Real name Lexi Swallow, everyone.
Yes.
Lexi she Swallow. Also, like Kurt Angle, she had a DUI back in June. We were doing some history on her.
Were you?
Yeah.
Funny thing was, did she in fact swallow? I don't recall.
Probably.
Now, I also thought the woman who played Linda, what was her name?
Julia Ann, I think that was.
Yeah, so Julia Ann there, a bit of a spitting fetish. I've never seen the balls spit before, the testicular spit and lube up. And then she would spit on the rod, the balls, her breasts. Like, it was just, you name it, she'd spit on it all over the place.
I did note that as well. It's very
okay.
True.
Also, the now at the end, when Hogan decides to find his old friend Janice, and said that she was a
former wrestler.
And yes. Her name was NyQuil, which is funny because I'm guessing her gimmick was to put everyone to sleep. And I could definitely see this. It's on a TNA pay-per-view. Actually, I did see it last night.
Yeah, that one, it was just so out of nowhere, this random scene where Hulk is suddenly with this random former wrestler friend. And then they go to the finish with Linda and Brooke just coming home early after a Justin Bieber concert. Like, what a...
No, it was Linda and Nick come home early.
Oh, it was Linda and Nick.
Yeah. Brooke didn't appear at the end. Also wondering, not much of a budget on props here. I mean, number one, you had the three bottles that were written on with a black marker for protein, Viagra, etc. I have a bigger budget for the conventioneers. Number two... I had a second point here with the props that was very lacking. I don't know what the hell it was.
The set dress.
Not much of a budget.
Yeah, there was none. It just seemed that, like, Brooke's room looked horrible.
Oh, Brooke, that's what I was going to say. Her room looked horrible. Along with that, no budget for hair dye. Brooke is blonde. Why was Brooke not blonde? And why was Linda not older? She should have been an older woman who was more cougarish.
Yeah, I just found that there was so much you could have done with this. You could have worked in a lot of wrestling terms. You could have, like, there's so much you could have done with this. I mean, me and Wei were talking about it. If like, the three of us were producing this, I mean, it'd be endless. And it was so lazy. It was, like, this seems that this was a two-day shoot, and it was just simply, let's do a bunch of sex scenes. We will do, it was horrible impressions. Like, it was just so poorly done, in my opinion.
And I don't think that there is any, if you notice, the person who, the gentleman that played Hulk Hogan never took off his bandana. Clearly, he had not shaved his head. So clearly, he was not dedicated to this character. He really didn't get into the character. And you know what? He wasn't buff enough to play the part either. So that was fairly disappointing. I don't know. I was disappointed in this piece of cinematic magic.
Were you surprised they didn't do a Hulk Brooke scene?
Yeah, I kind of expected that at some point, perhaps by the pool that started with rubbing suntan lotion, because we've seen that in real life.
So they really did drop the balls in this one. So I can't say that I was too impressed with this, but any closing thoughts, Jay, on this?
Can say is, you know, at the end of this, you know, when they walked in and there's, you know, the divorce and then Nick trying to, Nick hitting on the hooker? I see sequel, is what I see.
Well, I hope that it gets into someone else's hands, because I thought Third Degree Films, there's just so much ammunition with the Hogan family. I mean, so many stories that the general public is aware of that you could have played off of here, and it was just such a disappointment. I thought this would be a fun review, a fun thing to go and watch, and instead, here I am feeling very creepy as we spend 4:45 at work here talking about porn in the voiceover booth.
Yeah. Well, is it as creepy as when you decided to watch this alone in the dark room at work?
I did not watch it at work. I think Wei did. But
I didn't.
No?
Oh. How would I be able to watch it here?
Well, I did have to go through and grab clips for the for our show here, and I did have to transfer those over in real time here at work.
Yeah.
So I had to do that discreetly. But Jay, thank you very much. Thanks for watching this.
Have you guys done the review of One Night in China? Or
no,
Backdoor
we have not.
To China? Have you done that yet?
No.
How have you not done Backdoor to China?
I think this week's review was a big deterrent against porn. I want something that is aimed for the wrestling fan. I want something
What about one of Gangrel's films?
We did do one of those. Years ago, when it was Ask Away, we did review a New Porn Order.
That's
or whatever.
Right, NPO, New Porn Order. That's right.
Well, if we branch out that direction, if some director can put something together that caters to the wrestling fan, that puts some thought into the script and builds it around a wrestling audience that would flock to this stuff, I think absolutely we would review it in the future.
Like, really, the term hulking up wasn't even used.
Oh, there's just so much you could have done here. I was really disappointed with this.
We did see a pile
agree.
In the last scene.
A pile driver?
Yeah.
Did we?
Yeah. Hogan had the girl on her neck, and he was... That move is called the pile driver.
Oh, that is true.
Oh,
they
wow.
probably aren't aware of that. Well, thanks, Way. Glad you picked up on that. Jay, thank you very much for joining us here on our second anniversary show.
That's what I'm here for, guys. Good luck. I hope you make it to year three, and I expect to be back next year reviewing some other form of glorious piece of filmmaking.
So thank you to Jason Agnew, and now we are going to get into your listener feedback for the week. We asked for your best and worst review in Review Away history, and then any other things you would like to share here on our second anniversary show, and we'll start off with Travers Cummings. Congrats on your second anniversary. Review Away has provided me with countless hours of entertainment. There were two shows that I enjoyed the most. The first one was when you were talking about Eve Torres being repackaged with the gimmick named Julie Jitsu, and my second favorite show was the one you did recently with Arda, reviewing Fall Brawl 95. Just keep up the good work, guys.
Thank you, Travers. John Prince, congrats on 2 years, guys. I'm still a relatively new listener, and I'm trying to get caught up on old episodes. My favorite review is still the one I heard when I happened upon your show one day. It was an uncensored show that involved the very strange King of the Road match.
Oh, yes.
I listened to you guys thinking, these guys are full of crap. It can't be that bad. I went to YouTube, and sure enough, it was exactly as bad as you made it out to be. The only thing you did was make it funnier. You guys have often had me laughing out loud at my desk. Thanks for keeping me entertained, and I look forward to getting fully caught up on all your podcasts. Currently on WrestleMania 10.
WrestleMania 10.
Well, it is a long way to go.
Yes. I always remember that when we were doing those reviews during that final week or so when we were doing the Bret Hart documentary.
Yeah. Oh,
that was insane. God. I remember meeting you for breakfast on a Sunday morning, and you're at the restaurant watching WrestleMania on your laptop.
Yeah. That was
a pressing final weekend.
And the WrestleManias are always long shows, so those were tough times, but it was all worth it.
Zen Zigo. I rarely speak up, but I've been a listener from the start and just want to say thank you for 2 years of quality entertainment. My favorite review was the WWE original CD with the R-Truth rap contest. It cracked me up so much while I was walking through town grabbing some lunch. I had to cover my mouth so people wouldn't think I was insanely grinning for no reason.
Well, thank you for joining us, Zen. Hope to hear more from you and all the other people who just like to read but not really post too often. That's fine.
That's totally
fine. Yeah, totally cool. Just join us. Dean Kasulis, congrats on 2 years. I've been listening to for a little over a year now, and I look forward to your podcast 3 times a week. I may sound a bit cruel, but my favorite review aways are when you review horrible shows. I love it when John gets super frustrated and loses his cool while Waze tries his best to be the voice of reason. The fact that you sometimes need to spread out a 3-hour pay-per-view into multiple days just to keep your sanity is hilarious when you consider people actually paid money to watch these events live at one point. That said, my least favorite shows are the good shows you cover. Sure, it's great to relive classic pay-per-views, but this show is at its best when the reviewed product is at its worst. Keep up the great work, guys. It's been a lot of fun.
Colin Henderson, best review has to be the Art Donovan, how much does this guy weigh? Way cracking up when Yokozuna made his entrance reflected every listener's reaction during that review. I also remember listening to one of your reviews for weeks when you were ripping into TNA's rundown sheet for a backstage skit. Location, toilet. Bischoff, talking to man in cubicle. Abyss, taking a shit. Yeah, Thank you, Colin.
We have nothing to do with that. That's all TNA.
They provide the comedy. We just... repeat it.
Jermone Jackson. So far, my favorite reviews have been the Russo WCW pay-per-views. Great American Bash 2000 and Halloween Havoc 99 set all new lows in wrestling logic. The recent Super Clash review gets an honorable mention also.
Yeah, those WCW pay-per-views in the final year, those are a fucking chore to get through because they're just horrendous. Biggest review away, or biggest fan review away. I have to agree with Colin. The King of the Ring 94 review is hilarious. Your thoughts on the nonstop boobery of Art Donovan had me doubled over with laughter when I listened. How much does this guy weigh? Worst reviews. I'm the biggest fan, so to me they are all winners. Thanks, guys, for your hard work over the last 2 years in podcast entertainment, and congratulations. We're fine with criticism.
Oh, of course.
Not all of them are going to be solid.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm sure we've had some shit.
What did he say? I actually wasn't paying attention.
He liked King of the Ring, but he doesn't have a pick for a worst one.
Oh, okay. Sorry. Jared Brodeur, congratulations, guys. 2 years always keeping me entertained. So hard to pick a favorite, as I always enjoy the reviews from bad pay-per-views and impacts when you guys just go off on how stupid an angle or match is. I think my favorite was Halloween Havoc 99. I remember renting it at a Blockbuster back in the day, and I was just shocked at how much shit was on that show. It has to go down as one of the worst pay-per-views of all time. Needless to say, the review was amazing. Keep up the good work, and hopefully you will continue for many years to come.
Let's go to Thulani. Hey guys, it's your number one fan all the way from Zimbabwe. If I had to pick one episode of the show as having been my favorite, it would be the review of Wrong Side of Town starring RVD and Batista, although the poster made us think it was the other way around. There have been so many shows I've enjoyed, but this one is special to me because it was the first episode that got me hooked on Review Away. I'd listened to a hilarious review of a crappy WCW show the week prior, but it was the movie review that convinced me that you guys weren't one-hit wonders. And it's safe to say that y'all have been putting out hits ever since, with the exception of Stranglemania, of course. Another memorable moment has to be the shitstorm that erupted on the Facebook page, group at the time, when you guys decided to review UFC 1. You guys have yet to follow through on your threat. Promise to review another UFC show. Perhaps you could review UFC 66. Anyway, guys, thanks for the great memories. John and Wei, or Wei and John, did you guys ever think that this podcast would spawn two other weekly shows and be heard by so many people around the world? Here's to another two amazing years.
Did I ever think that?
We just mainly started it. Our whole idea was, yeah, we wanted to continue on after Ask Away, and I always thought it made sense that for the law, download that, you know, if people listen to the show live, here's an incentive to download the show. I mean, it made perfect sense that, okay, now download the show, and you get something extra if you download it. So, I've enjoyed that we've, we've made our audio stuff. It's not simply just Sundays every week. It's stuff you can come back every day and get new stuff. So
it's a network now, along with the law. And we pretty much just started reviewing Raw. I think we just wanted to expand. We were like up for lunch one day and we were just like, you know, we have like a really good audience here. We have all the tools and all the capability to do a Raw review. I mean, why don't we try to, you know, provide that and do that one of these days, and it worked out really well. And somehow that turned into a TNA review as well.
Yeah, it's just it's such a fun time in terms of like podcast development, and you're watching all these people that are migrating over to podcasts and how big they're becoming. And kind of you and I have just, we're always coming up with different ideas of stuff we can do. I mean, just going live on Monday nights, obviously we've had our challenges with that transfer over, but there's just so much you can do now, just like on your own, you know what I mean?
Yeah, for sure. Hanzi, I didn't get to listen to your past podcast until earlier this summer, so they were all like one giant review for me, but the ones that I can remember standing out were the WCW ones from 98 to 2001, which were great because of how much of a downward spiral the company went. The most famous review was probably King of the Ring, where that guy Art Donovan was commenting and asking stupid questions, and you can hear Gorilla Monsoon and Macho Man getting increasingly flustered. There you go.
Daniel Barrett, an amazing 2 years, guys. Well done. My favorite moments have to be the King of the Ring with Art Donovan and the Super Jacob 94 review. That was an amazing review and made me go out and find a copy. Plus, you ended the show playing Jushin Thunder Liger's music, which personally is how I think you should end the show every week. I have to say, though, the AWA review from a few weeks back had me doubled over with laughter. As for worst reviews, well, I haven't heard one yet. Some suggestions, if I may. SummerSlam 92, which I was at live, or the WWF One Night Stand pay-per-view from 1997, where the crowd nearly started a riot after the main event. Anyway, keep up the great work, guys. That King of the Ring show, people loved. Mm-hmm. And I totally enjoyed doing those shows with WH, the J-Cup ones. Yeah, those were a lot of fun to do. It was, it was just excellent. And definitely we got to incorporate WH on more, but of course he is in Japan, so it's always tough to kind of work out the time zones. But WH will for certain have back.
Mm-hmm. Ryan Daniels, congratulations on 2 full years of podcast, John and Wei. I only discovered the show a little over a year ago during last year's SummerSlam, but I've gone back and listened to almost all the podcasts that came before, and have listened to all since. Was definitely a highlight of the week for sure. My favorite podcasts are too many to mention, but some that stand out or stand out the most or cause me to laugh out loud the most would have to be, in no particular order, The King of the Ring 94 and The Analysis of Art Donovan, The Wrong Side of Town Review, The Heroes of Wrestling Review, Louis Theroux, The Legendary Review, and of course WWE on The Weakest Link, and in particular the parts about Booker T. Not really sure which would count as the worst review in Review Away history, but maybe TNA Bound for Glory 2005, only in that it doesn't necessarily stand out like some of the others. Here's to many more years of podcasts and memorable reviews.
I was so happy when I found that guy, Bill Stone, who did the Heroes of Wrestling show.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that guy's never done an interview talking about that show. So when I was able to, and the way I found him was just ridiculous. But anyway, it was...
How did you find him?
It was a matter of, like, Bill Stone, it's a pretty common name out there, and I found this new, like, production company he works for, and just was able to find his email address somewhere and just contact him, and the guy called me up. So, you never know you can find somebody.
You do a great job finding these weird, small, unheard of people.
I just stalk people. Andrew Hickey. I'm a relative latecomer to the show, but have quickly gotten hooked like it was audio crack. I guess that's a compliment. The articulate fury of John and the quiet storm of Way is a perfect balance. Credit is also due for giving fans like me a platform to share their feedback. My personal favorites are the UFC 1 and Beyond the Mat episodes, both for the insight and entertainment value. Big fan of the reviews of old WCW shows as well. Couldn't point to any shows as being the worst, per se. Even the Unforgiven 99 show, which had to be re-recorded, had some value. Here's to another 2 years and beyond, or until you both go insane from watching terrible shows like Women of Wrestling and every episode of Impact.
His personal favorites include the UFC
1. There you go. Someone liked it.
There you go. It's all worth it. Sergey Gavrilik. Review Away is the only reason I got my Facebook account. I discovered the show on Torrent about a year ago, and since then I've been a huge fan. I can't name a favorite review, but can tell what I like about them. John's rants and impersonations, and when Way, who generally sounds like the most calm person I ever heard, becomes irate over something. And also the little things, the Scott Putzkys, Marty Simons, interviews, clips from the shows, etc. Keep up your great work.
Let's continue on.
Man, are we on Torrents? Are we on other sites' Torrents?
I guess so. I've never seen us on Torrents, but maybe we are.
I don't really check out Torrents.
But yeah, I'm glad people are. I don't even know what Torrents are.
You don't know what Torrents are? Oh my god, dude.
I would never, ever seek media on a Torrent site. That's illegal.
Yeah, I don't know what Torrents are either.
Sam Kennerly, I would first just like to say a massive thank you to both Way and John for their tireless efforts and work they put into this phenomenal podcast. I've been an avid listener since the January 4th, 1999 Nitro edition and have since listened to every review and become as active as I can with the chat pack. I love the way that this podcast has made me become friends with many other listeners. A big shout out to my boys Ahmad and Jay Hunter. As I've said many times before, if I had to pay for this content, I would do so without any issue at all. I think this podcast is the most consistent online.
Okay, done. We're going to charge you, Sam Kennerly, and just you. Everybody else will still get it for free, but you...
Then they'll flock to the torrents.
Okay.
Now on to my best and worst. Best episode of Review Away, in my opinion, was the Heroes of Wrestling pay-per-view review. From start to finish, it makes me howl laughing, and it's funny hearing you guys crack up at Jake's infamous promo. Worst, I guess you could say winning the least tasteful angle might have been a personal low point of the show for me. I didn't really enjoy cashing in on Pillman's death, although I did appreciate the Slam Wrestling book. To be honest, I don't see many worst episodes. You guys do such a great job, and I have no doubt you have many more left in you. Once again, I raise my glass to both John and Way. Well, thank you very much, Sam.
Brian Hillhouse. Best, King of the Ring 94. Worst, Slammiversary 93.
That'd be Slambery, that WCW one. That was a boring show.
Okay. I'll continue because Brian's was so short. Jay Hunter says, congratulations on 2 years of the best podcast on the net, fellas. I can't wait for the Hogan Knows He Wrote Breast. Review.
I'm sure that was intentional.
And keeping my fingers crossed for a Hogan Brooks scene. You know, I mean, that's the logical assumption you would make when you hear Hogan Knows Best porn parody, right? That they would put Hogan and Brooke together.
I know that, like...
They didn't do that.
I don't know if they probably felt that... portraying a father
what's
having sex with his daughter.
So we'll have a father having sex with a European prostitute and then some
much
some
more acceptable
woman? Come on, when you're looking at a parody, you know it's not real, and you want to see the most outrageous shit that you can do. And they had a very
I had multiple people ask me if that was a scene in it, so that was what people were expecting. No. Hulk and Brooke.
They should have done it. There are no bad shows, but my least favorite was the Brian Pillman review. And
the
also,
Brian Pillman review? What was that?
I think he didn't review
his DVD or anything.
Yeah, what did we do? Oh, I think the one where we were asking about the least tasteful angle.
Okay, right.
The Brian Pillman and the Melanie Pillman interview.
That's right. Because we reviewed the pay-per-view where he had passed away that day.
Maybe that tied in. About,
yeah. Right, okay.
And also the most tasteless angles in pro wrestling. It was pretty disheartening. My favorite episodes are the WCW pay-per-view reviews. Hearing you guys try to make sense and then get furious about horrible booking decisions by TNA employees 15 years ago. WrestleMania 19 stands out as one of your absolute best podcasts, where the show is more interesting backstage than on screen. The R-Truth rap contest had me in tears. Your moments of unmitigated joy, budding anger, or abject depression wrapped up in informative love for our crazy niche sport keeps us entertained for countless hours. Slán chi, which is cheers in Irish.
I did really enjoy that WrestleMania 19 one. I remember when we finished that, it was one of those shows where I was like, this was really good. Craig Lamore writes, best show, Super Jacob 94-95. The worst show, Beyond the Mat.
Wow.
And I'll continue with Stephen Smith. Total congratulations and a big thank you to John and Wei for giving us highest quality entertainment for the last 2 years. I'm sure I speak for everyone else here when I say wrestling wouldn't be the same without you guys. It's hard to decide what your best review is. I'm torn between King of the Ring 94 and your review of Legendary. I think your worst review would have to be Exposed, Pro Wrestling's Greatest Secrets. I listened to that one late at night and Wei's very loud fuck had me reaching for the volume in case it woke my parents. Anyway, hope to hear lots more from you guys over the next few years and keep up the great work.
That's funny. Okay.
We got two more here.
Dennis Amaya, John and Wei, congrats on 2 years of producing the best podcast. Oh, wait, that was... Did you read that?
No, that's yours.
Oh, the best podcast on the internet. The best podcast?
That's definitely not true.
Second best, maybe. Thanks for all the great laughs. Your podcast is just too funny. Your podcast is also to blame for me getting weird looks and stares when I laugh in public about something you say. How could you choose the best review? They are all great in different ways, but I must say I have a special place in my heart for the episodes with technical difficulties in them. The Exposed, Pro Wrestling's Greatest Secrets, is a personal favorite. For Wei screaming fuck after the recording cut off. The Unforgiven 1999 episode also comes to mind, but all episodes are all excellent. John's ranting is excellent, and Wei being offended by the treatment of minorities on some shows is excellent. No offense to any of the guest reviewers, but there is no one that comes close to filling my spot. Best wishes for the future, and buena suerte.
You got all the translations.
And felicidades on reaching 2 years into many more years of five-star reviews.
All right.
Wow, this has just become like a giant ego trip.
I know. We sound like we're just so arrogant here. Yeah, I feel bad. We went from porn to masturbation.
Yep. We got two more, actually.
Oh, do we? Okay. Aman Paul Singh Mukar. The one that sticks out most in my mind is the Invasion pay-per-view review because it was the first one that really got me hooked to review away. The X Factor theme you kept playing and your take on the Hebner finish were just hilarious. That was during that stretch when we were doing that when we got Buff Bagwell. That was a great guest to have. He was interesting.
We still need to finish that Invasion arc.
Yes, that's true.
Finally, from Jack Pisco, congrats on 2 years of being an awesome extra to Live Audio Wrestling. You guys have become main eventers in that time, and hell, you even had signs at WWE shows. You are over. The best reviews you guys did was probably the Heroes of Wrestling show. That's the first time I laughed out loud at work when Jake Roberts' exploits were described in great detail. As for the worst review, it would probably be the Always Sunny in Philadelphia / South Park review. South Park was fine, but I didn't find the other show funny at all. Of course, you guys make every review salvageable
and my computer just died, so I can't finish his say.
So you won't be able to salvage his feedback?
No, I won't be.
Well, hopefully we have salvaged this show. If some of you were not into the Hogan Knows Best porn parody, but we don't recommend it, and don't check it out. But that's going to wrap us up for our 2-year anniversary show, and I want to thank all of you guys for all your input on this show. Lots of fun. And next week, Way, we're going to be starting off year number 3 with a wrestling documentary, one that one of our listeners actually produced. This is Stephen Gillis.
Gillis? I don't know.
Well, he has produced a documentary called This Wrestling Life, and it's airing on Super Channel in Canada. It's going to be coming back September the 17th and airing throughout the rest of September. So we're going to review that next week, and we're going to be joined by Stephen to chat about the documentary, and we'll try and find some links online so people outside of Canada can also watch it. Mm-hmm. So,
and we'll try to find out how to pronounce his last name properly.
That, too, we are going to search out next week. Mm-hmm. So that's going to be coming up next week, This Wrestling Life. Don't forget, we're going to be back on Friday with Review and Impact. Myself and Way, we are going to be reviewing Impact Wrestling featuring Ric Flair versus Sting. And then Sunday night, we're back with The Law, 11 p.m. Eastern, and lots more to come. So keep it tuned, liveaudiowrestling.com, at Law Radio on Twitter. And you can also follow Way, at Way0937. So thanks a lot for all of your feedback on this show. And Way, what is going to be our second anniversary song to go out with here?
Something big. Yeah, well, this is a very tough choice. I originally was going to ask that we go out to the great sounds of the European prostitute that Hulk Hogan hired in the Hogan Knows Best parody. But maybe that would be inappropriate.
It's your choice, Way. Whatever you want to end this with.
You picked this porno parody.
That's true. But I also picked the song on that show. So you got to pick something here.
Okay. Well, how about...
played Mr. Wazzo for you.
That's right, you did. I'd like to hear the greatest song of all time, which is this one.
Oh, this...
Yeah.